Welcome to Cross Culture Church. We're having our noon Bible study today, and we're in the book of John, and we're at chapter 4, and we're going to move into 4 as, we'll go with verse 8. We're talking out of verse 9. The reason we're in the book of John, we have proceeded from Hebrews to Romans, and now we're in John. John is the book that reveals the deity of Jesus. And if we would look to God and understand that he's a spirit, then how can we really come to understand God in our limited understanding as a human being? Well, God always knows how to make things available for us. So his son, which was the word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us, is God on display. Jesus is the Father on display. So what we have from John 1, which was in the beginning was the Word. And then we found out that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now we find that God has put himself in flesh in the form of Jesus so that he can demonstrate to us, humankind, what are the thoughts, the feelings, and the ideas and philosophies of the Father are toward man. All right. So let's go to verse 8 here. And we're in John 4 and 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Verse 9 says, and then the woman of Samaria came unto him. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask me of a drink? I am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. What we have here is a woman who is in a class situation. His Jesus being a Jew and she being a Samaritan, that was a class difference. The Samaritans were of a undergroup. And if you would look at it today, I want to be politically correct. But if you were looking at it today, let's say you were in another country like India. OK, they have class warfare and class environments over there. Certain groups run government and do things and have money, and other groups are just workers. That's just all that they do. So this is the kind of same situation here. The Jewish people were on one level and the Samaritans were like a stepchild or a cousin, and they looked down on them. And so she is saying, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me? All right. And we go to verse 10. And Jesus said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Now, what we have here is revelation knowledge. She, of course, would not have known who he was. But what he is saying is, here you have today presented to you an opportunity that you have not had before. And if we would liken that unto today, if we as individuals would present Jesus to somebody who does not know them, this is the situation that we would face. If we would come to somebody that does not know God and we said, you know, there's a gift that I would have for you, and it will help you if you would take this in. It will help you in the way that you walk, you talk, and all of that. And they said, well, how do you get this? How do you have it? And I don't have it. What is it, you know, that you possess? And what we would have would be the same living water, and what we would have because of who Jesus is. But he's presenting himself to her as something that she needs. Look at it again. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that say unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. All right, let's go to verse 11. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou have living water. Now, this is the same scenario if we back it up, like Nicodemus, when he came, who was smarter than this woman. But when Jesus told him he must be born again, he said, how can anybody go back into their mother's womb and be born again? Okay, how do you associate what he's saying to now? How she's saying to now? Because you can't use natural things to spiritual things. You can't compare the two because they're different. You know, what God is saying and what man is saying is two entirely different things. So if you've been brought up and raised a certain way, that's all the information that you have. Okay? Now, I just use myself for example. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. So I know what people in Alabama would know, but that's not what people in Atlanta may know. They may know a little bit more. Okay? So all of my basics of understanding would be from what I had learned as growing up. And isn't that the way we are today? We only know what we've been taught unless we get new revelation knowledge, right? I mean, and it's from, it can go all the way back from church. If you I just use a being a Southern Baptist. If you have been a Southern Baptist all your life and you run into somebody that's a Pentecostal and they start telling you about speaking in tongues and having the power of God to move in your life and he'll make your feet move and do all that. And you say, well, we don't do that. Am I right? I mean, you know, because that's what you've been taught and that's where what you have limited knowledge of all of this time. All right. So this is the same thing in how we go when we present Jesus to other people. All right. Their normal pushback would be, I only know what I know and I'm trying to understand how you're giving me something that I don't know. That's the pushback. I only know this much, but I'm giving you more information. He says, see, if you'd have known who I was, then you would have asked me for even more, but you don't. But guess what? I'm getting ready to introduce you to me. All right. And she said, listen, you want me, you want water, but you don't have a bucket. You know, she brought the bucket to the well. Right. All right. To draw water. He said, well, give me some water. So that meant she was going to take her bucket. And so, again, we cannot use natural things to try to understand spiritual things. We have to lay aside those things and ask God to reveal them to us by his spirit.
I have a comment on that. Not only just non-Christian, but Christians who are babes in Christ, when you're witnessing two of them in their walk, or even when they're going through trials and tribulation, they're trying to justify God in the physical and not in the spirit, simply because they haven't moved to the next level. And so when you're talking to them, their feedback to you is so far, it's like the East is from the West. And that's the same way it is with a lot of Christians, mm-hmm. You know, not only non-Christians, but Christian mm-hmm. community too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do we, as being Christians, feel that we can be a help to those that are not where they need to be?
I only thing I can say is just by your actions, just constantly telling them to read and constantly explaining, presenting God to them in the spirit, as a contrast to their physical. And that's what I try to do, basically.
Set an example.
Yeah. Set an example. And pray. Mm-hmm. And pray. And one thing that we can do that's good, you know, in our prayer is ask God to bring more laborers across their path, the people that we're ministering to, or the people that we run into, because in every instance, God says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So when we pray and believe for a person that needs to grow spiritually, we have to concentrate and focus our prayers on them and having God, who's the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers to help them. And because it may be you plant one word, somebody else come and give them another word, and all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. Because I remember, I don't know how many people witnessed to me, but then it was just that one time that all of that stuff, everything just came together and boom, you know, boy, it all started to make sense. But we have to be sensitive ourselves to spiritual things. And when we run into people, whether we know them or we don't know them, we have to be sensitive to allow the Lord to use us. Let the Lord have use of our mouth, have use of our conversation, because we don't really need to know what to say, but God knows what to say. He just needs a vessel to speak through to his people. So I just want us to understand we have to be willing vessels led by the Spirit of God, surrendered to the Spirit of God to be used, you know, to help others. All right.
And then he also said he'll give you the words to say in the same hour that you speak.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. A lot of times and this is just an admonition for all of us. Let's not look at ourselves and what we can and can't do, but let's look at what the Lord can do through us. Because I mean, I'm just saying in myself, I always have to say, Lord, I need for you to help me. You know, I don't walk around like I know it all. I need for God to always help me because I don't know what to say sometimes. Sometimes I think I know what to say, but I always have to back because as soon as I think I know what to say, I'm in the way. All right. Verse 12 says, thou art thou greater than thy father Jacob, which gave us the well and drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. What an explanation. He's saying, look, you're looking at natural things. You're at this well and you got to keep coming to this well over and over again to draw water. He said, but I got some water. When I give it to you, it's going to stir up a well of water that's in you. That's going to be bubbling up, so you won't have to worry about that. In fresh revelation is this. You already got a fountain of water in you. It's just not been opened up. Jesus said, now let me give you the water that's going to get it stirred up. Let me get it started for you. And when you take in what I give you, now you're going to have what you need. Right? I'm just trying to give it to you in another way. He's saying this water that I'm going to give you, then you're going to have it and it's going to start bringing it up. But how can we relate that to present day terms? Jesus said, if you take me in, I'm going to stir up that's already in you. And then I'm going to work with you and keep you hydrated. Right? Because the world dehydrates. But Jesus will hydrate. He'll give you all of that you need. Then he said, I'll give you everything that you need. I give you all that you need that pertaineth unto life and godliness. I got another one. I've been meditating on a thing. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And out of the mouth of God was the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. All that's in John 1, right?
Right.
So see, when we get his bread in, when we get his son in, when we get his life in, when we get the spirit in, what does that do? That stir up all of that God has already placed. We talked about this in one other session before. Every man has been given what?
A measure
of faith, which has to do with the fact that we have the capabilities once God light us up to let the light be shown. But see, some people don't want the light to come to light them up. They'd rather stay in darkness. And we talked about that earlier, said in the other chapter, it says because their deeds was dark. They want to do what they do for selfish measures. And so they don't want to be lit up on the inside. They don't want to have that water stirring up because they're putting some more water in there. Huh? They putting some other stuff in there. All right. All right. So it says here, and this is how I love it. It says, shall be in him after I give him that water. It's going to be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. All right. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She still got a little bit of the world hanging on there. She said, I want it because I won't have to come back to the well no more. Give it, you know, because that was a drudgery. It was a drudgery for her to have to come and bring that bucket and fill that up with water. We have no idea where she had to walk from to come and get it. Okay, so she's saying, woo, you going to give me some water? I won't need to thirst no more. Now I can put this bucket down. I'm tired of carrying this bucket around. You know, now y'all laughing, but let's look at this from a realistic standpoint. When you get saved, does that mean that now everything is great? That you ain't going to have no more trouble? You ain't going to have no more trials? You ain't going to have no more situations? All you got to do is get saved and your life going to change and everything going to be just beautiful. You're going to have God on your side and you're going to make it. You're getting ready for heaven.
For the moment, you feel that way.
You're looking at me.
I'm just wondering, did anybody else think like I did that, oh, it was going to be just like that?
Oh, yeah. All you got to do is look, I'm at the homeless shelter or I'm out on the street. And I'm talking to people, and they say, yeah, I want this God, because, man, I need to get out of this situation. I said, wait. You get saved today, your situation is not going to change today. It's not going to change today. What's changing today is how you're going to be able to deal with your situation tomorrow and next week and next month. You're going to have the greater one on the inside that can give you the strength to move past these changes, because in this life, you're going to have some what? Tribulations. And some tests. Okay. So, yeah, you're going to get the water and it's going to spring up in you, that wellspring. But you still going to have to do some work. There's still some things that's going to happen. You just going to have that water that's going to be in there that's going to keep you hydrated. Right. But it don't stop the work. you just hydrated on the inside where before you got what? Depressed. You got torn down, you got disappointed. You know what I'm talking about? You got affected by it, but now when you got him in there, he can help you deal with it versus having to go with it on your own like you did going back to the well. All right? Now, after she said that I won't come back to this, neither come back here to draw, Jesus said unto her, go tell thy husband and come back. Go call your husband and come back. Go call your husband and come back. Go do something with what you got. Go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel. Once you get it, what is our responsibility? To share it. Are we looking at this From a broad view or a narrow view? I looked at it when I first looked at it from a narrow view. I was looking at how it was affecting her. The overall view is, how are these scriptures affecting us? What are we supposed to do? Aren't the scriptures written for our admonition?
Right.
Huh? It's treasures and nuggets in here that are hid for us. So that when we read it, God's revelation knowledge is dispensed, right?
Right.
Okay, so are we looking at what revelation knowledge is dispensed? That word go right there is in the Bible. I want you to look it up. These are homework assignments. Look at the word go right here and look how many times it's used. All right. So we already did the one that says, go ye into all of the world, right? And preach the gospel. That was just one. Go. This says, go, call thy husband and come back. All right. So once you receive information, knowledge, revelation from God, what's the next step? The next step is to go. Do you think that God gives you information so that it'll be just for you? OK, I'm just asking you a question because I want you to think about in this particular story here, as it gets better, we're going to see why God does what he does. He does things with purpose and with a destiny in mind.
Right.
All right. Now I'm putting this out here so that you can look at any scripture, not just this one, but anything that you look at the whole view of what's going on. If God is being on display, is God being demonstrated? Is God being an instruction? Okay. Or is it just for revelation? If it's just for revelation, then it's for you to take the revelation and give. All right. Here we got to give a revelation. Go, call thy husband and come hither. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, go. Get somebody that's close to you, especially to you that need hydrating and bring them back. He didn't say, take what I got and give to him. He said, bring them back to me. Right?
Right.
So what are we supposed to do when we get revelation knowledge? We give it and then present them back to the Father. In discipleship, when we go out and witness, we tell people about who God is, what the desire is, from the Father for them to come and get reconnected back because sin has disconnected them. But what's the next thing that we do? We invite them to come back to church. Why? Because they need the fellowship. They need the support system. Right. They need a new home. They need a new family so that they can be helped along the way to get back to where they should be. When you first get saved, you're what? Babe in Christ. You need to have somebody to help you along the way until you can be matured. All right. Because we did read here a little earlier about having milk and meat and all these sort of things. So you got to have somewhere to go. So he said, bring them back to me. Don't go out there and try to do a whole lot. Bring them back to somebody that can help them get there. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And then Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said that you have no husband, for thou have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Is that in that saith thou truly? Revelation knowledge is at hand. Right here. Why do y'all think he said that to her?
I think he might have said that to her because she didn't know that he was a prophet, and he was letting her know that who he was because he knew everything about her. And I'm thinking that maybe that's why he told her something about herself that she probably didn't think that he knew.
Okay.
About him knowing all things.
I looked at it. I wanted y'all to look at it and kind of think about it. What had just happened to her was what? He spoke something to her that already has started to work. When he told her that he had that water, and she said, ooh, I want some of that. Now, she said she wanted some of it because, one, she wanted to have it and that she wouldn't have to come back again, but she also wanted it so that she wouldn't be getting thirsty anymore. So now part of the light was taking hold. She was now already getting a grip of what he said. She didn't lie to him because he had already said something to her that had already made a difference. So he says to her now, go and do this. It's just like in the garden, and God came back and asked Adam, where was he? And he said, I'm hiding. He said, well, why are you hiding? You know what I'm talking about? God knows where you are, but he wants you to come up and say what it is. What do we have to do when we're presented with God and presented salvation?
We accept him.
No, we have to confess our sins. We have to cough it up, the fact that we do need him. Because when we present God, what do we say? You've sinned and come short. What do you need to do? You need to repent. Right? You repent, turn from your wicked ways, and let's turn to God. Give your sins over to him because he bore them on the cross. So now you accept that exchange process. And so you give him the bad and then you take in the good. Right. So let's look at, that's the same scenario that we got right here. He tells her to go do something, and it's incumbent under her to tell the truth or to continue on with, because he says here, you've been living with this one as if it's your husband, but it's not. So she was shacking up. Right. So she was shacking up. She said, hey, you got me.
But don't you think he's revealing himself to her?
Well, we're going to get to that, sweetie. I'm just talking about why the woman said you jumping the gun. I'm trying to talk about why the woman said the truth. She said the truth because she did understand that he was telling her and revealing to her something that she did not know. She respected that. And she said, I'm not going to lie to this man. He done already called me out. You know, she's when she said what she said, that was the acknowledgement that she understood that he was somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And there wasn't no sense in lying to him. Right. So I didn't want you to understand that part. When we're presented with the truth, ain't no sense in saying, oh, that ain't really me. It's like when you tell somebody that they need to have the love of God in them, the first thing they says, I give to the United Way. I ain't a bad person. You know what? I don't know if I need to have all that, because I'm not. I don't. Wait, you trying to accuse me of something? I'm not bad. You know, all this defensive stuff. She just gave it up. She just gave it up. She said, you're right. All right. Then, verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What do prophets do? They come in to reveal, root up, tear up, and get gone. But that's what the prophet does. He comes into a situation. He brings in the heart and the mind of God. He points in the direction that people need to go in, and then he goes to the next situation. He goes to the next problem area that God tells him to go into that needs to have the word of God. That's what prophets do. They came to give what? Direction. All right. Well, actually, they come to give reproof, and then they give direction. All right. So, I perceive that thou art a prophet. 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and say ye that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Again, she's going by what she know. This is what she's been told. This is part of their heritage. This is what, but what is Jesus, what had Jesus come to do? To fulfill all of the word that had been said. He come to everything prophets have said, all of that, Jesus came to fulfill it. And if you want to know that Jesus is greater than and he came to fulfill it, what book do we go to?
Hebrews.
Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it's shown that Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than the prophets. He came to fulfill all of that God has set in motion. He was the final step.
Right.
All right. I just want to keep us rolling because we got a good group here. All right. He said, and this is the place where men ought to worship it. 21. Jesus said unto her, woman, or hey, believe me, the hour cometh when thou wilt neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. All right. 22. You worship, ye know not what. You know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Boy, that was three good verses here that I want to take a little time and work it just a little bit. One. In 21, he says, believe me that the hour coming when you worship neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. They had all up to this point felt like works was what needed to be done. You go, you sacrifice, you buy, you do, you don't wash your hands, you wash your hands, you observe this Sabbath, you observe this feast. You do all of that, and that's what's supposed to appease God. All right? That's what they had all the way up until Jesus came to fulfill all of that and show us a better way. He was there to fulfill it all and bring everything into perspective. All right? She said, he says to her, look, it's getting ready to come. Revelation knowledge, they're going to show you all these works things not going to work anymore. All of this stuff that's done externally was all superficial and temporary until I arrived. Right? 22. You're doing it all out of the wrong motive. You're doing the best you can, but it's not what you should be doing. I'm going to show you what you should be doing. And what is what she should be doing? 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. I love this because this is for us. Everything we look at in the Bible, again, we talked about, is for our admonition, and it's for our children's admonition. It's for our grandchildren, for our great grandchildren. Everybody that come in must know that God is pulling, drawing, commanding, calling, yearning for man to repent and to come to him so that they can worship him in spirit and in truth. What happens after you worship God? You get revelation knowledge. Once you acknowledge who he is and give him praise and honor and glory, your spirit and God's spirit lines up in a perfect alignment. And here comes revelation. Here comes revelation. I don't know about you, but before I ask God anything, before I start begging and pleading and bringing forth petitions that I just got to have taken care of, I want to worship him. I want to love him. I want to acknowledge that he is my Father. I want my spirit to say, Abba, Father. Knowing that when I just acknowledge who he is and all of that, I get myself lined up and I get all the other stuff away so that now I can really hear from him. My praise and worship time is the time when I get loose from the world and get ready for the spirit. It is. When you start praising God, you don't worry about a bill or whether the light's on or your favorite program on or any of those kind of things. When you get to worshiping God, that's you and him. And after you get through giving him what he's due, then you can pray and seek his face. And then you can communicate with him. After good praise and worship, you get the song that really stirs you up on the inside and even the ones that make you cry. If you pick your Bible up, you'll get revelation knowledge like none other. None other. When God says seek him early while he might be found, and you get over in Psalms 5:1 and say, early in the morning will I seek you, my voice are you here in the morning, and I'm going to look up. When you get into those kind of things, after you praise and worship him, you're going to be looking up. I guarantee you, you won't be looking down, not unless you don't start bowing down in your worship, you know, in your worship time, and you're really giving it to him, right? And so this is what he's saying. There's going to come a time when all this coming to the well and going through all this kind of stuff won't even be necessary because it's going to be on the inside. I'm just throwing this out just to be, I guess, spiritual. But when Paul told Timothy to stir up them gifts that was in him, they won't never be stirred up if there's no worship in you. I'm just telling you, if you are not a worshiper, you will not really see God's demonstration of what he can do in your life. You got to worship him. You got to worship him. And you know how I know that? Verse 23 says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And in truth. God's looking for somebody that's going to get out of themselves and get into him. And it starts with worship. Yes, dear.
What's the difference between praise and worship?
Their praise is you talking to God about what he's done. Worship is talking about who he is. All right. It's who he is. You are my Father. You are my healer. You are my redeemer. You are the God above all gods. You are the supreme being. You know, and when you talk about praise, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. You've caused me to come out of darkness into your marvelous light. All them songs where you lifted me up. You know, if you've not done anything else for me, you've done enough. And all these songs like that, all of those are praise songs. They're not worship songs. You know, and there's nothing wrong with giving a testimony about what God has done, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? And the word of our testimony. So there's nothing wrong with it. They're just two different things. You know, you can start in talking about what you've done for me, but at the end of your praise, it's going to be about who he is. Boy, when you got to talk about, oh, great Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, when you start really getting into calling him out for who he is, that take you on to, you know, it's kind of like whether you start trotting and then you start running. You know, I can trot about what he done, but when I start calling him Adonai and Elohim, when I start getting into the names of him, then I'm running now, boy. I done got to the next level in this thing. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah coming, which is called the Christ, when he has come, he will teach us all things. What Jesus said, verse 26, Jesus said to her, I speak unto thee, am I? Am he? What? I speak unto thee, am he? Am he? I am that I am. That you've been looking for. I am. I am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. And yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left with her water pot, went her way into the city, and said unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?
When it says that, you know, she was leaving her water pots, wasn't that a signal that she was feeling, I'm not going to need these anymore?
Well, we could assume that. I thought she left the water pot because after what he said to her, she was on fire and there wasn't no need for no more water pot right then. It's kind of like if somebody, let's say you were talking to somebody and you had some information to give them and they gave you some revelation knowledge, You forget about what you done gave them. Now, all you thinking about is what the revelation knowledge that you got is taking over now. So that you were talking about, that ain't even important anymore. And it could be that she said, well, I don't need this water pot anymore. But I thought when after that, she said, I got to leave here now. And it wasn't about the water pot or nothing. She said, I got to go tell somebody about this. But then didn't he say go? He had already told her to go. He just gave her a little bit more inspiration and fire to go. Right? All right.
That just reminds me that everybody who had a direct contact with Jesus, they didn't go back the way they came in. You know, the way they came in, whether it was a name change or whatever, you know, and leaving that water jar, that's the way she came in. She left. She didn't need it anymore, like you said.
All right. And then they went out of the city and came unto him. Ooh, look, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, if you go out and witness to somebody, they'll get something. God's word does not return void. Right. So she went out, told somebody, and so somebody returned back. She had a little influence out in the city. Did she not? And so they came back to see what she was talking about. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed with him, saying, Master, eat. Jesus said unto him, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples to one another, hath any man brought him something to eat? Again, what do we have here? We got the flesh talking, you know, but yeah, but understand, we don't get away from it. The thoughts and stuff that we have just because we get God or just because we're in fellowship, we still have to deal with our flesh. It's not going to stop saying stuff to us just because we saved, just because we got the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? Because I know that's why we have to come and get more bread and have to dive in and stay spiritual. Because just because you get saved today, you know, don't mean you don't have to work on it. And I'm saying you can't work on your salvation, but you can work on what that salvation is working on in you. Because once God done saved you amidst of what people say, God's work can't be undone. All right. Now, I know y'all can come up with some scripture and say different things, but understand, Jesus has said all that's in my Father's hand, can't nobody take it out. So if your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, more than likely, 99, it's going to still be there. But you still got to do your part. I mean, and understand what I'm saying to you. God don't save you just to miss hell.
That's right.
You got a job to do in the kingdom. That's why you've been enlisted and heard and heeded the call. All right. Now he says, I got meat that you know not of. Therefore, the disciples said unto one another, has somebody brought him some meat? Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, this is what I like about Jesus. He don't let you just stay in your ignorance. He said, let me tell you about the meat that I got. See, because they still trying to figure out whether somebody done brought him something to eat. He said, no. My nourishment and what I draw off of is when I do what I'm supposed to do. Can I tell y'all something? I love what I do. And I get excited every time I have the opportunity to do it. I do. I enjoy allowing God to utilize me in whatever area it is, whether it's in prison, street ministry, youth detention, whether it's in the nursing home, whether it's in the homeless shelter, whether it's in the street, whether it's on the radio, whether it's in a Bible study, whatever it is, when God is working through you, it satisfies you in a way, way better than food, drink, anything that you can come up with. I love flying. I love visiting other places, but there ain't nothing like God using me in the kingdom.
Amen.
Nothing like it. And people ask me, why you do what you do? I said, because God treats me in a way that's better than gold, that's better than praise, that's better than power, that's better than influence. You can't give me anything that would make me better than I feel when God is using this vessel of clay. And the only reason I'm telling you that is because if you ever let him use you and if you ever experience him on any level like that, you'll understand what I'm saying and you'll just be, Lord, whenever you get ready, do that again. Do that again. Do that again. So I'm just saying to you, when he said this, it meant something to me. Hopefully it'll mean something to you. That the food that we really need to be desiring is to do the will of the one that calls us. When he called me to preach, I said, you know, I can't sing. He said, don't worry about all the singing part. I said, well, I don't know a whole lot to say. He said, don't worry about that because I'm going to give you what it is to say. He said, but I'm going to take care of you, son. You won't miss no meals. You always have something to wear. I'm going to take care of you. And I never missed a meal. I got some experience I can tell you about thinking that I wasn't going to have a place to stay and God provided it for me. But everybody got a testimony. All y'all got a testimony. Oh, and can I be ugly? Y'all got to tell me. Y'all got to let me be. Portia, can I be ugly? I had to ask Portia. Portia, can I be ugly? I want to be ugly. I be ugly. Look, if you don't have a testimony, you're just about to have one. You will have one. You're going to have a testimony. There's going to be a situation that's coming where God is going to do something magnanimous in your life and you're going to have to give him the praise, the honor, and glory. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because some of y'all want to just live this flowery bread of ease. And then now that you saved, you don't want to have no, you know, you want to just be able to just go to work. You know, you want to be able to live your life without people disliking you, without you having to say stuff that make folk mad. That, hello, somebody, you want to just be able to get along. But that is not what salvation is. Oh, my God. It ain't to get along. Jesus said, I came to divide. I came to draw a line in the sand. He said, oh, father, mother, look, somebody going to have to say, I want God over all the rest of this stuff. And listen, while I'm being ugly, can I tell y'all where all that come from? In the beginning, God said, choose me over the tree. Don't take the tree. Don't do that. Trust me. I'm better than that. I'm the greatest. I got you. Don't go down there and do that, because if you do that, you're going to be separated from me. Why? Because now you're going to think you can do it without me. Huh? If you think you God, why you going to need me? What did the enemy say? You're going to be just like him. Which is a lie. How you going to be like him? Yeah, look, that's why he don't want you to have that, because see, you can be God yourself. You know? Go ahead.
And the question he should have asked was, if I could be God, why not you, God? You can't be it. That's the question.
Yeah, but
why
see.
Did you get it?
Yeah, but see.
He wasn't thinking.
He wasn't there.
Okay.
He who? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about when he talked to
Adam. He wasn't talking to Adam. No, you said him.
I'm
just messing. Oh, but listen, look, I'm not trying to ease Adam out of this at all. Understand, Adam? Look. While a whole conversation was going, all Adam had to say was, "Look, I cut." All Adam had to say was, "Shut up. I'm in control of this garden." Listen now, do y'all understand that Adam was given authority over that garden and he was the one that was supposed to dress it and keep it? He could direct anything he wanted to do. He could have told that serpent to shut up, but he didn't. Didn't God tell him that he's supposed to run the thing over there? So while this bad boy talking, he said, you know what? I don't even like what you're talking about. God done said something, that's it, shut up. And he tell his woman, we finna go swim. We're going to go do it. Because they could do anything they wanted to do. He could have said, let's go. And just walk away. Didn't even have to respond, period. Just because the serpent was talking didn't mean nothing. It was all conversation. And what do we deal with today? Conversation. We deal with people saying stuff. We dealing with stuff in our mind. We dealing with thoughts and stuff that come in. And all it is to challenge us to make a decision. Are we going to believe what God said? Are we going to believe what the conversation said? Huh? Take authority. Now, here it is today. Now, I didn't want to get into all of that, but in relationship, and when you look at what the Bible has said and is saying, and even if you go all the way to Revelation, it all ties in the same. There is a line in the sand, and God has drawn it. Either you're going to believe what I said is true or not.
That's right.
Or not. God's already got stuff lined up, and either you go down the line and say yes, 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 or you get on the other side and say, I'm going to do my own thing. I know what's right from wrong, and there ain't nothing wrong with me making my own decisions. I got a right. Huh? I got a right to do what I want with my body, with my relationships. I can love who I want. I can do what I want because I'm God myself. I'm responsible for this. And so my answer to all of that is, well, take responsibility and get everything that go with it. I give up all of that and let God have it because I belong to him now. So I'm not going out here. I'm not taking responsibility for it because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's some guilt on that side. I'm sorry. I get to preaching. I can't help it. All right. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Is that your meat?
That's what I want to do.
Oh!
It doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Man, that's what I want to do. I have a heart to do it. But if you look at 24/7, you don't make the mark all the time. You know, that's why we have to pray and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
If 24/7 at the end of the day.
All right, let's go to verse 35. It said, this is Jesus still talking. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto thee, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Who is he talking to? Who is Jesus talking to right here in this passage? He's talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple?
Yes. We got you.
Yeah. If you are a disciple, he's talking to you. Lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already with harvest. Hello, somebody. If you cut on TV, don't you know that the fields are white for harvest? Boy, there's so much ignorance floating around out there now. It's all on the radio. It's on the TV. It's in the street. It's white with harvest. White with harvest. Oh, oh, Lord. Dr. Oz. There's a whole lot of doctors out here. They trying to instead of Dr. Jesus, they don't want Dr. Jesus who made all and there was nothing made except it was made by him. Why they don't go back to the creator and ask him? All right. That's another thing. All right. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receive wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Hey, y'all. That's me. And Portia.
And everybody else in here.
So, y'all on the same team?
We coming too.
All right. All right. All right. Listen, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And wherein is that saying true? One soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men laboreth, and you are entered into their labors. Now, whenever you meet people out on the street, you have no idea where they came from. You don't know where they're going, but you don't know also what it is you need to say to help them on their way. Right? So you don't know. You may be just a conversation to say, you know what, I've been thinking about this, and I said last night, if I get a chance, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I've just been saying some things, but ain't nothing been happening. It's your opportunity to allow the Lord to use you to lead them in. So I'm just letting you know, you could be in a whole lot of different phases of ministry, but you don't know what part it is to play in somebody else's life. Because can I help you? It ain't about you.
That's right.
It's about the ones that are around you. Mm-hmm. Now, you know people that I don't know. You got the voice to them. You know people I don't know. You got the voice to them. You do. Now, it could be the voice to plant. It could be the voice to water. But you don't know where the increase is going to come. But we know that it's coming. All right. Well, it's 103. And I was going to try to get on into some more of this. But we go as we go. Have you all enjoyed the study? Have you enjoyed the study? All right. Do y'all have any questions? Because I don't have to run and catch planes like I used to. And I would run out of here and people would be like, oh, I want to ask a question. You got to go. So if we don't have any questions, I'm going to pray for you all and believe God for increase in your life, in your ministry, in your understanding. In your understanding, I believe that more has to be directed toward our understanding, because the more we understand, the more we're responsible for, the more we are equipped to do when our understanding is increased. Yes.
Sometimes when we are afforded the opportunity to have a question, it takes us a few minutes to come up with it. And this last